Fish.
This is Sophia.
And this is Ambry.
And we are so excited to be back and talking to you guys today.
I know. I'm so excited. We haven't filmed in a while.
I know. I feel like we need to do like a quick little like life update for the listeners.
I agree. So much in our life has changed. For me, honestly, every single aspect of my life changed.
Since the first episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Do you want to share what has changed?
No. Me being such a private person, being like, no, I don't. I did move to LA. That's been a really big life change that I've enjoyed. It's been a great transition. I like every time I'm driving in LA, I'm like, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And as cheesy as it sounds, it's true. I remember I had a moment, actually, I was journaling at sunset. Mm-hmm. And I was at that exact beach 2 years prior. And I had a moment where I was walking 2 years ago at that beach. And I was like, I need to move here. And I just felt so like, this is where I need to be. Now I live like 10 minutes from that spot that I was walking.
So crazy.
And so when I was journaling a couple weeks ago at that spot, it just like hit me where I was like, wow, it feels good to take those risks and to know in your body. As much as it's scary and some days I'm like, what the heck am I doing? And I'm still trying to navigate and figure out the transition. I'm so much happier there.
I mean, I see you way less, which I think is hilarious. Because I used to see you way more when we lived in different states. And now you're like 45 minutes away. I haven't seen you in like 4 months.
I know. Well, I used to come here to Newport a lot for work. And now I'm in LA. So.
But I also would like fly to Arizona every 2 weeks.
That's true.
So it was like, we just saw each other all the time. And I just think it's so funny. Because I remember when you told me you were moving to LA, I was like so stoked. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to see you like every week. And it just happened.
I know. It's sad.
It's been just a crazy few months. I just feel like I'm on the go all the time. I feel like I have no time to chill.
You really haven't. No. You've been traveling a lot with dance, which I'm so excited for you though.
Thank you. No, I've just been gone. Like, I feel like I haven't, like, I think the other day someone on Instagram asked me, like, what's your, like, day-to-day? And I was like, this is going to be the most anticlimactic thing ever. I wake up, I make breakfast, I go to work. I work for 10 to 14 hours. I go home, I cook dinner, I go to sleep, do it again. And the only thing that's different is on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I travel.
You literally do work a lot.
A lot. Yeah.
No time for you.
None. I'm ready. I think I've told you this, but I just am like ready to like go somewhere for like 2 weeks and like not do anything. Like not answer my text, not respond to moms about privates. Like, I'm just excited to like have a chill moment. And it's not that I don't love my kids and I don't love my students. Kids are my students. I don't have children.
She has cats.
Yeah.
Those are her children.
I think everyone needs a reset, and I'm really bad at like life work balance, and it's something that I need to get better at. But I'm also like, I'm at this age now, especially with dancers. I don't think it's like this with any other career, if I'm being completely honest, maybe music. Mm-hmm. But like your 20s are your time to like crunch everything into one to like set up your future. And I feel like 20 to like 25 are those like grinding years where you're just like, man, I don't have any breaks. But then as soon as you're 25, you're like in this comfortable spot where you're like, I built my resume, I have everything I want, and I've done everything I need or whatever. Maybe that's true. I don't know.
I don't feel like that's how most people think though, or are. Because think about, a lot of people are in college from those like
18 to 22.
From those years. So they're actually looking at it as the opposite, where they're not thinking about their future and they're doing things that are experience.
I feel like when I'm 30, I want to feel like I've accomplished everything that I've wanted to with dance. Not teaching, just dance in general. And I want to be able to, like, you know, launch my company before I'm 30. I want to be able to do those things. So it's being built. And so by the time I am 30 and I want to start a family maybe, or I want to get married, I can, like, actually do those things without being so stressed out with work. I want to be in a good place with work. That's what it is.
I'm on the same page as you as well, where it's like I started doing all of this when I was 18 and I knew from a young age, I'm like, these are the times in our lives where we're going to have the most energy and I need to work my ass off right now to be able to benefit and see my hard work pay off in my 30s and be present with my family.
Yeah. I don't want to have to like be working, you know, 14-hour days when I have a baby.
No.
I'm not going to be able to. So it's like now or never. But I do need to find a better work-life balance because I feel like I'm just like a machine at this point.
Well, that's been a thing. I'm like adulting now, guys. So
I know.
I was always adulting, but
just like on an extra level.
On an extra level, yeah. Of like moving out for the first time. I moved, my family's all in Arizona and I moved to LA. So yeah. Like first time being away from my family.
Loving it.
I really am thriving in my independent era.
Oh, I love that for you so much. I really do. I just have seen you like be so much happier in the recent months. Even if I haven't seen you in person, just like talking to you over the phone or just seeing, like, you just seem more refreshed.
Yes. Your mindset. Had a lot of new fun things in my life.
So many new fun things. So many.
Amazing. Okay, right. Let's get into the first question. Also a disclaimer, if we sound like a little raspy, we both have sick voices going on, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Ignore the sniffles.
First question.
What's your morning routine / tips on maintaining healthy habits?
Ambry has a way better answer.
How long do we have to say all these?
Ambry's morning routine is like 500 million hours.
Yes.
It really is.
Okay, I'm going to break it down into the most impactful ones for myself. I would say celery juice. I have been on this.
That's the most like LA shit ever.
Hey, I was on it before LA. I get a little defensive when people say things are so LA and I'm like, I just moved there.
But LA, like you're just so LA girl. Like you're LA wellness girly for sure.
I know. As much as I hate to admit it, I am. Okay, so celery juice has been one of the best things I've done for my healing. Shout out to Medical Medium because I swear it healed my hormones and amazing, which a lot of women struggle with. I do 16 ounces every morning on an empty stomach, and that has been definitely like one of my best morning routines, and also journaling. And icing my face, if I can add another one.
You know, I've taken icing the face from you. Because I wake up super swollen a lot of the times. Or like if I sleep too hard on one side of my face, it's really puffy comparatively.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like icing and gua sha is probably the only thing I could tell you that is like an actual morning routine thing. Because I wake up, wash my face, do my makeup, make coffee, go to work. That's it.
I love that though. The gua sha is amazing. I do that as well.
Yeah.
I've been starting like lymphatic drainage massages where I like honestly could do a whole video about like the different points.
Wait, I'm gonna like when we're off this podcast, I'm 100% gonna make you show me them because I just bought like today. I just ordered lymphatic like tools off of Amazon for your body that you could do at home.
Yes. The body like is huge. Like moving your lymphatic system is incredible. I wanna get like a rebounder, like a little trampoline that helps like your lymphatic system.
Oh, wow.
Other morning routines are daily sunlight and not checking your phone first, like 30 minutes to an hour in the day. Because when you spike your cortisol right in the morning, that actually is the dopamine your body starts to crave throughout the whole rest of the day. So if you're setting yourself up and immediately like checking emails or checking Instagram, that is what your body is going to crave to continue to check all day. Interesting fact.
That's a very interesting fact. The first thing I do is check who texted me. Because I'm bad at
text. It's hard to not.
That's like the first thing I do after I stop my alarm. Do you wake up to an alarm every morning?
I do. Otherwise, I would just sleep in.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to prioritize waking up earlier because I notice I'm way more productive if I do.
I feel like you're just a productive human in general. Like all day. Like whether you sleep in or not, like you just are always productive.
That's true. We all have our days.
Every day is not a productive day for me. Like if I didn't have to go to work, nothing would ever get done.
The ideal day would be Netflix in bed.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. Like, if I don't have to leave my apartment, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Which is probably not healthy.
I've noticed moving out that I definitely, like, will stay home more and be like, oh, I haven't, like, talked to a person today mm-hmm. or, like, done anything. I need to get out and go for a walk.
Yeah, like, before my boyfriend moved in, when I lived alone, I really just lived alone. Like, yeah. I didn't really see anyone unless I was at work. And I've come home and that was it. And I remember being like really upset about it, but it was my own fault. Like it was like, you know what I mean? Like yeah. I did it to myself in the sense of like, I didn't go out and like make friends. I didn't go out. Like I didn't want to go to dinner by myself, which is something that I'm super comfortable doing now. Like taking yourself to a restaurant.
Dating yourself. It's important.
Yeah. But it's like, I remember like being very embarrassed or like having like a little bit of shame. Bringing a book to a restaurant and like being there by myself or like even like telling like the hostess that you only have one. They're like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? Like,
whereas like reality, they don't care.
That goes into confidence tips. Someone had asked in one of our questions, like tips for increasing their confidence. And I think dating yourself has been one thing that definitely helped my confidence, going and doing little adventures by myself mm-hmm. and not being afraid to like be alone, like be in my own thoughts. Mm-hmm. And whether it was dinner or to a coffee shop and or even a museum, what would you say has been the biggest thing that's helped with your confidence?
My style.
Love that.
I think like finding my personal style has been so helpful. Like I remember in 2021, I went through a huge phase with fashion.
Oh.
I found myself.
Leave it to a breakup to really just increase that confidence.
Yeah. I like went, I did a full 180 on style. I used to wear like a lot of like baby doll dresses and a lot of floral prints. And a lot of like brand new Melville Urban Outfitter type of vibe things yes. before Urban went like truly like street style. Mm-hmm. And I did like a full 180 and just every day became like better fashion and I just felt better about myself. I don't know why. It's just a weird thing.
Look good, feel good. I agree with that.
Yeah, that definitely helped me. Therapy always helps, I think.
Yes. Starting to anytime you learn yourself.
Yeah. I always felt way more confident when I was reading. That's an interesting thing. But anytime I'm reading a book, whether it's you know, fiction or nonfiction, I always felt like my confidence kind of upped a notch. And I don't know if it's because I enjoy reading, so I'm doing things I enjoy more. That makes sense. Or if it's just reading in general. It might be either. I don't know. But yeah, that's something weird.
For me, I would say also doing things that are outside your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And then like after I might be like really nervous to do something, I go and do it. Mm-hmm. Then I'm like on a high. Like I feel yeah. this just invigorating feeling of empowerment of like, wow, I did that.
Hot yoga.
Ooh.
Makes me feel really good about myself or something.
Getting sweaty.
Hot and sweaty. I'm just kidding. But like, I don't know, something about like that whole environment of yoga always like resets my mind and I always felt really good whenever I left.
This might be really woo-woo and out there, but
it probably is going to be because it's coming from you.
It's coming from me. I was going to say it taps into your feminine energy. And that is a huge thing with women and confidence is tapping into your feminine energy. Work kind of programs us to go more into that masculine role. Yeah. Whereas like taking time to like dance, yoga, any type of like self-expression movement is really going to tap into that feminine energy and increase a woman's confidence.
Funny.
And you're more magnetic, so the men will come running.
Basically, what she's trying to say is do yoga.
Do yoga. Question. Okay. Question number two. How has dating been in your 20s?
Well, I feel like we talk about this all the time, but I've been with the same human besides like those 3 months that we were not together since I was 17.
So she hasn't had a lot of dating in her
20s. I don't really have a lot of dating advice for you guys. I just feel like I have a, like, you know what I mean? I don't know. Like I haven't dated yeah. different people. I've hung out with dudes for like when I was single, mm-hmm. but nothing ever serious. It's only ever been my boyfriend. Like I feel like since I've...
Which teaches you lessons in a different way.
Such a different way.
Whereas for me, dating a lot has taught me what I want, mm-hmm. what kind of qualities I am attracted to in a man, more of like what my needs are. And I feel like that's been a valuable skill for me in my 20s.
I feel like with you dating different people, like kind of going on dates and putting yourself out there, I could be wrong. This is just like an outsider looking in. I felt like you learned so much more about yourself.
I agree.
Like, I feel like you were like, I didn't even know I didn't like this, but I don't. It's very clear I don't. Like, I feel like you'd always come back from a date and tell me like things that you learned.
Yes.
Versus just like thinking about what you didn't like about the person. It was more like, this is what I don't like, or this is what I learned about myself versus the human that you were on a date with.
And dating is a skill. Like, yeah. You get better at it the more you do it. Mm-hmm. And when you take it less serious, like that would be my biggest advice for women in their 20s when they're dating is do not take it that serious. I feel like women automatically think when they go on a date, we are programming ourselves to be like, does he want to date me? Mm. Like without thinking, do I want to date him? Do I even like him? Would he add to my life and complement my qualities? And I think that is where we go wrong with dating, is we put so much pressure on ourselves that we take it so personal if they don't pick us and take it as like, well, what's wrong with me? When it's like—
Yeah, I did that too. Like when I got broken up with, that was my immediate reaction.
It's human nature.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
But the more I've dated, the more I've realized it is so much less about what is not, like, what are the qualities I don't have, and so much more about like, what's going on in that person's life?
That's true.
What they're looking at, what their attachment styles are.
I really do believe in like right time.
Yeah.
Like right person, right time. Like it has to align. It's never going to work out if the other human's not in the same page as you. And sometimes I feel like women, and I've noticed this with my friends who date, are like, well, I'll give him another shot. Like what if he's better in a few months? Or like they like revisit the same dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Why go back to your ex?
Well, I did, so.
No, but that was a different, that was like kind of.
Yeah.
Like a break, I guess.
It was a full on breakup. We were like, we're never going to get back together. Remember I told you this one?
But you had only dated for a short amount of time. I feel like that's different than if you were to date for like 3 years, break up, and then.
Yeah, we were together for 7 months before we broke up. And then we took 3 months off and then now back forever. Mm. But I feel like when I was dating though, like when I was single and I was trying to put myself out there, it was really difficult for me to do that because I'd never had done that before.
Mm-hmm.
Like even the way that my boyfriend and I started dating, it happened very casually and it wasn't like we didn't try to date each other. It wasn't like a formal thing. It was like, hey, let's meet up. I would love to get to know you, and the sense of friends.
It's always when you're not looking.
Yeah. It wasn't like he wasn't looking for a girlfriend. And so I think I had never been able, and like I've never been in that spot where I was like, I just want to find someone. So when I was going on those dates for a minute, it was interesting because I never went out with someone that I didn't know prior.
Mm.
So I had known them for a long time, and then we would hang out, but the tone changed. Does that make sense? Like I feel like you've gone on dates with people you met on the internet and then like met up with, or like, I don't know. Like you've gone on dates with people you met randomly.
Yeah.
And met once and don't know. Mm-hmm. I was going on dates with people I've known since sixth grade.
And that's different.
Yeah. So different. So I would like, it would be so interesting now. Like I would not even know where to start. You know what I mean?
It would be. I also think the reason why you find it when you're not looking is because you don't have desperate energy. And that is a huge thing. Like guys can sense if you're like, just being desperate and wanting them to like commit to you or wanting them to like, they can sense that. And I really feel like you kind of got to be a little bit of a poodle with it and just be like, eh. Like if it happens, it happens.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like you can't go into dating with expectations. Ever. No.
Expectations kill every part in life, especially a relationship.
Yeah, but like even like on a date, like just say someone's going on a first date. If you have expectations of how that date's going to go, it's probably not going to go that way.
Yeah. Go into it with fun and open mind and just taking it as an experience.
Yeah.
And a story.
You always have to like have a good introduction. You'd always tell me this. You'd always be like so prepared for dates, I feel like, in the sense of like you knew your good traits and what you were going to talk about. Like you knew how to talk about yourself in a good way, which I think is such a good tool, but it took you a minute.
That's
but
true.
Once you figured it out, you like had that first date knowledge.
Yeah, like a little spiel about yourself.
Yeah. That makes you like fun, funky, and unique.
That's actually true. Also, like when you're dating in your 20s, like don't just like project and talk about yourself and like your traumas. I enjoyed going on dates because I love to listen and ask people intriguing questions. And that's all people want to do on a date is just talk about themselves.
You know, what's so funny is like, I'm such an open book and I'm such a deep human in general that if I ever went on a first date with a guy I didn't know, I would probably talk about my childhood and freak him the fuck out.
I would have to like coach her and be like, okay, so these are things we're not talking about going into this.
We're not going to talk about all the pressure you dealt with as a child right away. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, but that's just me. I'm just a deep human.
Yeah.
Like I don't take shit.
I'm a deep person. But
you know how to have lighthearted conversations.
Yeah.
I started out from the get-go being like, tell me everything about you and like everything that's went wrong. Like I've just been like that since I was a kid.
Yeah.
So that would be definitely interesting. Wow.
Okay. This goes along the lines. How do you tell someone you like them?
Oh, God. Ambry probably has a more interesting answer than this.
You got to be bold. just tell them. It depends also. Like, you got to feel out the vibe and know, like, obviously, if they're voicing interest, if they're taking initiative, just
listen.
Lean in. Kiss them.
Oh, that would be Embry's answer.
Give them the come fuck me eyes. And
that's what Embry does.
This is Embry, do.
This is, she's not giving you advice that she hasn't done before. This is legit. True. What she does. Like, she lets a guy know she likes him by kissing them.
Or you have to make, like, really obvious, like, flirtatious eye contact.
Or, like, grab, like, or touching.
Touch them. Yes. If they're touching you, like, it's just, like, gentle,
well,
subtle.
Don't touch them. Touch them. Just touch them, like, on the knee and, like, the hand.
Yeah. Innocent.
Yeah. Just, you have to be, you have to, like, what if, like, someone takes that the wrong way?
No, I know. You know I'm an innocent girl. I'm no, innocent, sweet touches when you're talking to them will give them the sign that you like them.
Yeah.
And eye contact.
Eye contact for sure. I feel like, I don't know. Listen, rejection sucks. Okay. It really does. I've been there so many times.
Rejection is redirection.
Oh my gosh. I didn't take it that way. I just kept... Same human.
Persistent.
Just kept. I was really persistent. Yeah. And I just kept getting rejected all the time and it freaking sucked. And so I get it. It's so scary to tell someone that you like them. It really is. Especially if you're telling the same person who's rejected you before. But the what if question is always going to be there if you don't tell them how you feel. So if you like someone, at least you know your answer. You might be heartbroken for a good month or like, you know, kind of hurt that they rejected you. But you can take out that what if question.
Yeah.
That's my advice.
I agree.
Next question is, how can you bounce back from a big fight with a very close friend?
I went, no, I don't fight with anyone.
Oh my God. Amory's a perfect child.
I'm just kidding. Communication.
Yeah. I don't think that we've ever had a big fight.
I really don't think we have.
And if we have, we haven't, like, we communicated that we were angry at each other and then, like, we just kind of ignored each other for, like, the next 2 weeks and then we were fine.
Yeah, we had a little time pass and then we're like, okay.
We're over it.
Yeah. We also have definitely, like, treated each other with respect to never allow there to be a fight.
Or, like, if we're annoyed with each other, like, I definitely can tell, like, when you're annoyed with me and vice versa, I'm sure, because we're just very blunt humans.
Yeah.
I think we always know that the intentions are never ill. Like, we always know that we love each other and it's never like a F you type of thing. It's always like, I'm annoyed with you right now, but I understand why we are both annoyed. Like, yes. If we're getting like kind of like
snippy or sassy with each other,
I think we both understand why we both feel that way.
Yeah.
I feel like we're really good at looking at both sides.
Having perspective in an argument if you're...
Yeah. At least with each other.
Yes.
I don't feel like that with any other friend. I feel like me and you have always been that way since ever. Like, we just have been very good about that. But I don't feel that with other friends.
I think you have to think big picture and how much you value that person in your life and realize that these little catty things aren't going to matter in 5 years. And communication is going to... allow you to, like you said, to come from a place of seeing the other person's perspective, but also knowing the intent. Like, intention is everything. And if I know that, and I do, like, I know you love and care for me, so you want the best. And so whatever intention, it's like, you could have been having an off day.
Yeah. I feel like sometimes, not just with us, because I feel like we don't normally do this, like, you like to get it like out in the open right away, which I appreciate. Sometimes with me, because I'm a very hot-headed person, like, I will just come out of the gates like swinging.
Yeah.
Sometimes I need to take a day and really think if it bothers me, because if it really bothers me a day later or 2 days later, I might say something. But if I get over it and it is even like a smidge smaller of a deal, then I won't say anything. I'll let it go.
It's good, though, you know that about yourself to be able to give yourself that space.
Yeah. I just was raised with really strong parents who were always fighting about stuff. Like, I feel like they would be fighting over paper towels. And they just liked, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's like their
the
love
conflict.
Language almost is like, is fighting with each other. And like, it's not like bickering. It's like, we fight.
And so I knew that because I'm the same way. Mm. Where like I want to figure it out right then and there, but I'm way meaner right then and there. And so sometimes I need to take a step back and like really, really decide if it's worth it. There's a lot of fights I don't want to pick.
Yeah.
With that said, though, if it does bug you still after those 2 days, say something. Because then if you don't say something, it's going to build up and then later on be an issue. Next question. Would you consider yourself a people pleaser? And if so, how have you grown to manage it?
This is a hard question for me because I genuinely don't know if I am a people pleaser. Like, I like to make other people happy and I enjoy doing things for others. But I feel like I don't know if it's at the, like...
level of a people pleaser?
Yeah.
I am a huge people pleaser.
Like, you feel like you will dismiss all your own wants and needs to please someone else.
100%.
I think it depends. Like, if it's something that I don't really care about, like... Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to be like, okay, like I don't have an opinion.
Yeah, I'm a people pleaser in a different way though. I'm a people pleaser in the sense of like, I won't think something else, like something is good until I have people tell me that they also think it's good. Or, and if they don't, okay. Even if I like something, like for instance, my whole life, I was just trying to people please, like my childhood, like for sure. Like any dance I did, I was hoping to get validation from other people saying it was nice.
When you put it that way, I'm like, huh.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's that. Yeah. There's different.
The validation.
Yeah. And then also, I'm one of those people pleasers though. I'm like the annoying one. Where if we're like trying to converse where we want to go to dinner and I say I don't care.
You do care.
I do care. I just want you to choose. Because
I
don't
care. See, if I care,
I
will say, no, we're going to go here and we're doing this.
You are really good at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of times I just don't care.
No, I do. I always care. But I just want to make the other person happy. So I'd rather have them choose.
That makes sense. I'd say I feel that with like my mother. Like I will always want to like make them proud.
Like I felt like that with my mom my whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. There's different things. Or like I just feel like that spectrum of being a people pleaser is really broad.
It is.
Like, give me a topic of where you think I would be a people pleaser, and I could probably tell you yes or no. It's just hard to tell you. I think in overall, yeah, I am.
I feel like to an extent, everyone is a people pleaser in some aspect because that's just being kind of caring and considerate. Mm. Sometimes in life, you do have to think about making others happy.
But I would put someone else's happiness over mine all the time, like tenfold.
Do you feel you do that in a relationship?
100% I do that in a relationship. I think especially because since I live with the other human too, like you want them to be in a happy mindset. I'm 100% sure he feels the same way about me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we put each other's wants and needs over ours a lot. You know, like one night he, like even if it's small things, like if he wants sushi and I don't want sushi, he will fold and say, we'll get whatever you want.
Yeah. I mean, that's compromise.
Yeah. Like there's a lot of things that are like, I don't know. I think you just always want to please the people that you love.
That's true.
And so it's hard. It's hard because where do you draw that line? Where is the line of being selfish and being, you know, like sure of yourself? There's very different, like it's just a boundary that's kind of, not a boundary, it's kind of a line that's hard to tell where it starts.
I agree. Okay, our next question is, how can you live your best life?
Such a hard question.
It is, because I feel like everyone's idea of like what their ideal self is different.
Yeah, and everyone's version of best life is so different. Like some people want a white picket fence and a family and, you know, like that's what they imagine is their best life.
True.
So I feel like it's very like whatever we say is definitely not going to be the same as someone else's, you know?
I'd say at the core, it's starting to know yourself and your own wants and needs. And adjusting your life to that, like getting really specific on like what lights you up and your passions and what is it that makes you feel your best?
My version of a best life, or like whenever I feel like I'm living my truest self or my truest form of happiness, is always freedom. Like yes. Having the freedom to do whatever I want would be me living my best life.
Like time, money.
Yeah.
All those resources.
Yeah. So like I wouldn't say I'm living my best life. Yeah, I'm not there.
For me, I view living your best life as getting to travel, mm-hmm. to have love, and to have passion. Like, those for me are like, and learning. I would say learning is like my pillars of my life that really make me happy. Like, if I were to just like travel and take like aesthetic wellness content and get to do photography and drink coffee and, you know, travel with my life partner,
yeah,
that would be where it really lights me up.
I feel like if I had the freedom to choose like what I wanted to do from day to day and had no obligation to anyone else, like being my own boss would be like amazing.
I agree.
Like, that would be my version of living my best life, traveling whenever I wanted. Being spontaneous.
Yes.
Would be a version of me being my best self, or like living my best life. I feel like whenever I'm spontaneous, I find more happiness. And just given the line of work I'm in, it's really hard to be spontaneous. You have to be a planner, kind of.
I'd say write down like your ideal life. Like, I've always done three
vision boards, maybe?
Yeah, vision boards, getting really specific on Pinterest and like seeing a vision that lights you up and being like, okay, that's something, but also execution boards. So sitting down and having like a 1, 3, and 5 year goal, and then kind of working backwards on your life and seeing how to get to those.
Yeah, that's good advice. I don't know. I feel like it's hard because I'm such a planner with everything in my life that sometimes I don't want to have a vision of what I want. I just want to roll with the punches.
I think you can do both. I think you can kind of have an overarching theme and idea of things you want, and almost like, not that they're not going to change, they can evolve, and it's almost having these North Stars, these big visions that you want for yourself that almost seem out of reach, that if you had them come true, you'd be like, wow, that'd be really cool.
I feel like living your best life isn't like instant gratification. It's not going to happen right away.
It's not.
It's not going to be like an overnight thing where you just suddenly feel like you're living everything you've ever wanted. You know what I mean? Like, you're not having it. It's like it's almost like a big picture thing. Like what you were just saying, in 5 years, I want to be living my best life in 10 years. So in 10 years, I want to have my own freedom. I want to be able to make my schedule. I want to be able to have the financial backing that I need to go travel the world and not have to stress. I want to be comfortable. I don't need to be like a millionaire. I just want to be comfortable. I want to be flexible to have that. I would like to have a partner that I feel will be there. You know, like, there's certain things I just know that that's not going to come overnight. And I know that I won't be able to get that until I reach certain goals. So right now I'm in it for the long haul. I'm not in it for the present. I'm in it for the future.
It's like we talked about earlier, where we talked about making those sacrifices now in our young 20s to pay off when we're 30.
Yeah, I would rather feel like I'm living my best life with like later, like when it counts.
When I get to share it with a husband and a family.
Yeah. And I think right now my version of living my best life is different than what it's going to be when I'm 30.
True.
Like, right now it would be so nice to go out with my girlfriends on the weekend and have fun and go party and all that kind of stuff that I don't get to do because I'm traveling. But at the same time, what I'm doing is my goal. So it's like, what is, like, there's so many layers to it. You know what I mean? Because like, teaching on convention and getting to travel is all I've ever wanted since I was little. So technically I am living my best life, but you're never going to be satisfied. It's always like the next best thing, I feel like. You know, it's like,
I would love to dive deeper into that in a podcast episode, because I feel like that's like a big hindrance in my life.
Yeah.
Is always chasing that next best thing and that next goal.
Yeah. Like, how, I feel like living your best life is such a broad term and such a hard question to answer, because my wants and my desires are never going to be where I'm at right now. It's always going to be chasing the next thing. And then when I get there, what's going to be my goals when I get there? Like, I don't know if I'll ever feel like relaxed and and satisfied with my life. Like, I feel like we're always chasing something. It doesn't need to be the next best thing, but we're always going to want something else. Like, how do we become completely content with our lives or we don't have any desires?
It's hard, because I always use the example of my brother. He is the most content present human I've ever met.
Yeah.
And I admire that so deeply about him, because it allows him to constantly be happy, because he's present and is not having any expectation. I asked him one day, I'm like, why are you always so happy? And he's like, I have no expectations. And I think that is where I go a little wrong sometimes, is I have these high expectations for myself and the life that I want to create. But on the other coin, it's like, that's my drive. And that is why I know I am where I am today and have the mindset. So it's kind of embracing your unique mindset and knowing that it's all a part of your story and your journey.
Yeah, I don't think that there's ever, like, I don't think there's such a thing as, like, how to live your best life. I think it's, like, every day is what you make it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't, like, life is such a long journey. So I don't know how you could make it your best one. Like, wherever you're set, I think everything happens for a reason. And I think things are planned for us before we get here.
And even when you do reach that, like, best life, there's still going to be shit days.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's going to be happiness all the time. And I think that it's just, I don't know if, like, it's kind of like perfection. I don't think perfection's attainable. I don't think that, like, being happy all the time is attainable. Sadly. Like, the reason why we have sadness is because we need to feel happiness.
Yeah. We need to have contrast to be able to appreciate the other.
Yeah. I don't know.
I got deep. I love it.
I just want to thank our listeners for sending us those questions, because I think it's just so awesome that we're getting to, you know, communicate with them. I think it's amazing that we have a community now where we can literally just put out and say, what do you want to know about us, or what do you have questions about? And we can answer. I think that's really cool.
And I love that they're aligned with what we're wanting to talk about. Like, these are the kind of questions we enjoy having conversations with when the mics aren't on.
Yeah, these are the ones that we ask each other.
Yeah.
Like, without a camera.
So it's fun to get to share and hear other people's perspectives about it and know that they're resonating with these questions as well.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you guys. We're glad that you're listening. We're glad that you're enjoying the season. We've been having a lot of fun.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, and we really do appreciate the feedback. Like, all your guys' is amazing and sweet and just, like, so well-written, so profound DMs are just, like, over the moon. Like, we just never thought it was going to be that, at least not right away. So we really do appreciate you guys taking out the time to talk to us and tell us your thoughts. Like, we really do listen and we really do read. We just want to say thank you.
We're in there reading all the DMs. If we don't get to it, we still read it, I promise. And
yeah,
we love getting to hear your guys' stories. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah, and thank you for listening. We really do appreciate it. And we hope that you guys become our ride or dies.
Thank you for listening. We'll see you guys next time.
See ya.